This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Mark Haney. Scams, cons, and swindles come in a variety of forms, from shady door-to-door contractors to fake emails to identity theft. You might wonder how anyone could fall for some of the scams you read about, but con artists are experts at manipulation. Joining us to discuss how these criminals gain the trust of their victims and exploit their weaknesses, and how you can protect yourself from being scammed, are Police Officer Princess Davis, a certified crime prevention specialist and patrol program coordinator for the Cincinnati Police Department, Pastor Peterson Mingo from Christ Temple Baptist Church, and Cincinnati Better Business Bureau public relations specialist Sandra Guile. You can join us at 513-419-7100. Email us, talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are we today?
I'm good. How are you?
All right.
All right. It's winter. I think we have to pass everyone's headphones over by one. I just realized we're missing here. We want to be able to take phone calls. If you have a question, you can call us at 513-419-7100. And Officer Davis, I want to start with you and have you tell us what people should be watching out for just in general when it comes to just avoiding scams.
Telephone conversations, talking to people that are strangers. I'm sorry. A lot of times they'll call and just ask you basic information, and they'll even call you and start conversating with you and don't even know who they're talking to, but they will ask you, what is your name? That's a telltale sign right there that someone is calling you that does not even know you.
So if somebody calls you and doesn't know who you are, hang up? Is that what you suggest?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sandra?
I would have to concur with that. A lot of times what they're looking for is that they're starting to fish for that information. It starts with your name. Okay, now that I have your name, could I have your credit card information? Because we have this really great promotion going on, or I'm working with a special charity. And then if you're still reticent, they're going to find a common link with you, a common interest. One of the things I like to point out is that this is the wonderful time of year where a lot of political campaigns are kicking up. A lot of PACs are out there looking for money. But there's also scammers, and they like to watch the news. They like to know what's going on. So Ohio has a very big voice, as you well know, in presidential elections and presidential campaigns. So they're going, well, how can I tie into that? How can I make money off of it? So they're going to start calling the different parties and affiliations, and they're going to try to get on that common plane with you and start playing with your emotions. So that way you're saying yes before you start thinking about what you're saying yes to.
Well, it sounds like so many of these, it seems so obvious that they're a scam, yet in the moment, maybe not. Pastor Mingo, why do you think that is?
Well, people want to believe they're getting something for nothing. They want to believe that they're so smart, so intelligent, so experienced, that they won't fall for this or fall for that. Say someone was to call me and say, okay, Peter Flamingo, yes, you have received your letter in the mail recognizing you as the winner of our $100,000 award.
Yeah,
your name was submitted, and all we need, sir, is your personal information plus a $500 processing fee.
Yep. Well, and that's the thing, though. When somebody, when somebody's asking you for money to get money, it seems that's so obvious that that's not really a prize. But some people do get taken in.
I mean, well, think about it. If they're saying, like they did me a couple of weeks ago, you have just won $250,000.
Really?
And on top of that, a brand new car. Now, the only catch, like he said, it's only one catch. We just need a processing fee of about $200 because we know you want it overnight.
Yeah. So, but here's the catch. That processing fee is usually with a prepaid debit card.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the choice method of payment by scammers across the country. Number one, it's cash, essentially. It's untraceable. Once you give that account number, once that money's gone, it's gone. Mm-hmm. You never see it again.
Now, so the reason that's different is because if you have a regular credit card, you're protected by the credit card company.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
And or with elderly people, they tend to want to use money orders.
Yeah.
They'll tell them to go to the bank, get $500 out, and they'll tell them who to make it out to, which is most of the time a bogus P.O. box.
Mm-hmm.
and go that route.
Well, you said you got one of these calls the other day.
Last week.
How did you react? Did you just hang up, or did you try to find out who they were to get them?
I was trying to find out the information, but he was very annoying to me, and I told him to do me a favor. If your mom and father is living, they probably need the money more than I do, so give it to them. And then I wait to listen, and he hung up on me. I think he was upset with me.
Well, and 9 times out of 10, a lot of these callers are not from within the United States. Mm-hmm. They're from outside of the country. They're calling from Jamaica. They're calling from Nigeria. They're calling from anywhere outside of the United States, and they're spoofing the phone call. So it looks like it's coming from the United States, or it's coming locally. But it's usually not. They're spoofing numbers. They've gotten really, really good at doing that.
Is it strictly on the phone?
No, you can receive some really good-looking material in the mail.
Yeah.
That you've been approved, pre-approved for a loan. And what they're doing, they're fishing for more information on you. When you fill out the application, they'll ask for your checking account number. Okay? Phoning, routing numbers, everything. They'll get that information. And once they have it, don't be surprised if you find out that your checking account has been looted. They're going to go right through it. As soon as they get that information, and they're supposed to be basically depositing your loan into your checking account, but instead they withdraw it. Now, the banks that they use, they probably have 5 or 6 accounts that are going to close by the end of the year, or the end of the day, really, end of the business day. And they have a lot of offshore accounts where all this money is being funneled that can't be traced. And once your money's gone, your money's gone.
How big a problem is this in the Cincinnati area?
In the greater Cincinnati area, it's interesting you should ask. BBB has a scam tracker. We launched that in April of 2015, and we had 22 victims report an average loss of $1,000 to scammers for a total loss of about $24,000, and that was just last year. Of these inquiries, the top 5 scams reported were IRS imposters, debt collections, phishing, imposter calls, and government grant calls. Now, most popular means of contact was by phone and by email, believe it or not. These numbers don't account for the number of calls Better Business Bureau receives on a daily basis from victims themselves that have lost money. They've been contacted by a scammer asking for personal identifiable information. This includes Social Security number, their bank account information, as Pastor just included, the credit card information and the like. We've had scared callers. We've had people that have lost tens of thousands of dollars to these imposters. In each case reported, the caller or the sender used a convincing persuasion tactic. And this is 1 of 5 I actually teach in the community. It could be phantom riches, the mystery prize money, source credibility. They're calling from the IRS. They're calling from the U.S. Department of Treasury. Social consensus. Well, if you don't buy into this, then you're going to lose out on a great deal.
Exactly.
Reciprocity. If you give me this, I'll give you great things in return. Or scarcity. You need to act on this now.
So there are hundreds of people as well that don't even report it.
Yeah.
Because of their shame.
Mm-hmm.
Just embarrassed that it happened to them.
They will not report
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
We have a person on the phone now who goes by the name Real People. Hi, what's your question?
Yes.
What's your question?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead, please.
I sit on a board at a church, and we were swindled out of some timeshare properties we had. And I'm wondering, can you guys give me some direction on who we should contact or how we could go about straightening this situation out.
Why don't you tell us what happened?
Well, we had one of the members at our church worked at a senior-like building. One of the seniors donated some timeshares to the church, and the timeshares just kind of came up. Someone done a quick claim on the timeshares, and then they just came up, disappeared. Because we weren't using them. We were thinking about possibly selling the timeshares or whatever, but we never got around to it. And they came up missing, and someone had done a quick claim or some kind of crazy nonsense to obtain the timeshares.
What do you all suggest that they do?
I would first file up a report or talk with law enforcement to see what they can do. We do have a fraud unit that handles situations. I don't know in that one particular, but they can give you some suggestions on what you need to do. But I would get on that as soon as possible.
Then I would recommend, from Better Business Bureau perspective, is see if you can find down the ownership of the property. File a complaint first, and after you file your theft report, and file a complaint against the company, and find out what the status is to see what happened to it.
All right. Well, first thing I would do, if the person's still living who donated timeshare, if I would talk to them, because evidently you don't have a lot of information concerning the timeshare, when it was originally purchased, where the individual can go to stay or whatever. There are serial numbers that are attached to each timeshare and people to get in touch with in case of the emergency or if the timeshare has been transferred. So I would find out who handled the transferring of the timeshare, get in touch with the resort or company or boat or hotel where the timeshares are located, and find out, according to the serial number and the number assigned to that particular timeshare, who used it, when, and for what purpose.
All right. There you go. I hope that helps you. Yes?
Somewhat. We do have the original deeds.
Then I would take all of that with you to the police when you file a report.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Cody's calling from Fairfield. Hi, Cody. What's your question?
Hi. I have a grandfather who recently was watching YouTube because he's actually pretty good with a computer. And somehow he got some malware that told him to call a number because his computer was frozen.
Uh-huh.
And so he actually called a number and started giving them information. Is there any program available to, like, help the older people understand what's the difference between a good program and a bad program?
Actually, it's funny you should ask that. BBB is launching 5 Steps to Better Cybersecurity. We're launching it this winter, as a matter of fact. I'll be making the rounds in the community and teaching this. First of all, I'm hoping you took steps in acquiescing that computer and going over to a local facility to unload that malware before it got dangerous. Okay, excellent. I'm very happy to hear that. Did he lose any money?
Not to the best of our knowledge.
Okay.
They keep a pretty close track on it, but it was scary.
I'm sure it was.
Tell them not to call phone numbers.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there is a case of identity theft. Every 3 seconds, somebody loses their identity to situations like this. And unfortunately, that particular population is extremely vulnerable. They're tech savvy. And there's some that are, they think they're tech savvy until something like that happens. But we do have programs available. If you go to bbb.org/cybersecurity, you can find some information there that'll get you started.
I'll definitely look that up.
Okay.
You like to hear other people say the same things I do.
Okay, that's great. And then give our office a call. I'll be more than happy to come out to a senior facility and give a presentation.
Good luck, and we hope it all goes well, Cody. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Our number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment. Computers are something we haven't talked as much about as phones. What can you do, really, to protect yourself and to protect your computer?
There's two audiences that you need to reach. Parents, talk to your kids, tweens, teenagers, and officer, please jump in, college kids. Your phone is more than just a phone. It is connected to the internet. It is a mini computer in your hand. And there are people out there that are not afraid to hack into your information. She's nodding her head. Yes.
Correct.
And there are certain things that you should and should not do with it.
Yes.
Advice for what you should and shouldn't do?
Just pretty much, if you don't know the person or the website, I don't even, in my personal computer, I will not touch it. I don't, especially with emails that you receive that you're not familiar with the person, do not open that site. Don't click on the email, even if it does have your name on it, or, hey, princess, I get a lot of, hey, princess, I don't know you. I'm not going to click on that.
There's another thing that's going on called smishing, and it is a texting. Basically, it's a text message with a link inside of it, and if you click on the link, it'll download malware to your smartphone.
So don't be clicking on links.
Don't be clicking on links, especially if it's somebody you don't know. Email, mm-hmm. the same thing. A lot of times email addresses where it's from looks very, very similar to someone you think you know. But if you're not sure if it looks spelling, you know, spelling, grammatical errors, that kind of thing, don't go there. Just don't.
Pastor Mingo, you had a past life where you were on the other side of the program here. Tell us what happened and how you convinced people to give you things.
It was over 40 years ago. And myself and an individual I'm not going to name, we came upon some property. We were stashing stuff there. And basically, it had an old for rent sign in front of it. And we actually rented out the house to a family that we just came up. We talked to them. We went to the library. We got some forms. And back then, you couldn't type up anything. You had to basically get a Patriot form, make a copy, and had them fill out the form. And they actually rented the apartment. They went ahead the utilities.
That you didn't own.
No, we didn't own it. Had the utilities turned on in their name. And that went off about 8 months. And we collected rent. We gave them the biggest discount they could imagine. We told them $800 a month and let them talk us down to $550.
My goodness.
And we told them it would be $550 on one condition, that if they painted the living room and the dining room and did some work in the basement. And they agreed to it.
Wow. And you just talked the line.
Yep.
And that's, I think, what happens with a lot of folks, as you were saying. I'm going to go to another caller now. This is Bill in West Union. Hi, Bill. What's your question?
You mentioned earlier, and this has been one of my big pet peeves, about how these scammers, a lot of times they will spoof the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that really irked me over the years is it seems to me that the phone companies are somehow complicit in all this. If you get a call and you call the phone company and try to have them tell you who called you, they claim that they don't have that information. They don't know who made the call. But somebody's getting the bill. Somebody's paying for that phone call. Mm-hmm. And I have contacted my legislators, both at the state and national level.
Officer Davis, what is the rule on that? Do you have to go to the phone company? Is the phone company even allowed to give you a number like that?
Not that I'm aware of. The only time we have conversation, if we have harassment calls and they report it to the telephone crime reporting unit, and it would go from there where they would put a device on the phones to find out who's calling you and what is being said. Other than that, I'm not familiar with the phone company.
You can certainly file a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission. The Federal Trade Commission has come out very strongly. They've used very strong language on the issue they're having on the credit card offer calls, the bogus IRS calls and everything. They're just as frustrated as the consumers are. Mm-hmm. They're trying to find ways to stop it, and they can't because the technology is so advanced.
Bill, are you suggesting that there should be laws that allow this type of tracing to be done?
Absolutely. I believe it's absolutely within the power of the telephone companies, telecommunication companies, mm-hmm. whatever, to be able to identify where this call originates from. The fact mm-hmm. that they can spoof the caller ID. You know, I get phone calls that will say they're coming, that the caller is Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't believe the whole city of Cleveland is calling me.
I get them when it says I'm calling myself. Those
yeah,
are the
I do
ones.
Too.
Those
yes.
come in, and
yeah.
you know that's an issue.
They'll display a number like all zeros or 1,
yep.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yep.
They're spoofing those, and I don't believe that ought to be allowed. And the phone companies actually profit. Because the people who want their ID masked have to pay a fee to do that.
Sandra.
that's a tough one to crack. I mean, like I mentioned before, the Federal Trade Commission is very well aware of the issue. The FBI is aware of it. The CIA is aware of it. They're working very hard to try to track down where these calls are originating from. I don't completely disagree that there is a charge or there is a fee that somebody is paying for this. And it could be the criminals themselves are somehow making money off of it. But the big thing is that as long as you don't try to respond back to these calls, that you don't try to call those numbers back, then those charges are not going to accrue.
Bill, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. Our number is 513-419-7100. Jay's calling from Covington. Hi, Jay. What's your question?
How are you all today?
Just
thanks
fine.
Thanks for accepting my call.
Certainly.
Listen, this is more of a warning than anything. My partner, she was trying to make some extra money on the side, and she was filling out surveys on a computer. And in return for her filling out the surveys, the companies would pay her, and they would send out bogus money orders. And they looked like American Express money orders. They looked perfectly legitimate, but they would overpay. Mm-hmm. And instead of her receiving $150, she would receive $550. And when she would contact the company, they would say, no, it's our fault. Somebody made an error in the accounting. Please deposit those in your bank account and just send us the overage back, and we'll be friends. And so I automatically knew that it was a scam.
So
and I said, don't deposit that in my bank account.
So what? I don't understand how that works. What happens? They deposit and then they get your routing number or something? Or
it's
no, they deposit and the money orders are fraudulent. The money orders are counterfeit. So
right. So
you've given them good dollars.
Yep.
And then once the bank finds out that your dollars are, the money orders are bad, they take the money back.
I see. So they tell you to send the money back to them.
Exactly. And then you're stuck with the overages and the bouncing fees and the banks looking at you like you're the criminal, which unfortunately you can go to jail for, right, officer?
Yeah. Right. So we contacted the police.
Good.
And they said it was nothing they could do about it. They said just don't deposit them. And they kept sending money. They just kept sending money orders. We received maybe $1,800, $1,900 worth of money orders from these people.
Did you look up the company and file a complaint using?
I think my partner did.
Did, okay.
My thing was keeping them out of our bank account.
Yeah.
Don't deposit that in my bank account.
Yeah, don't go there. That's some bad money there. You don't want to pass that. But yeah, absolutely.
Right.
You know, file a complaint, keep an eye on those accounts just say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry, but I'm not interested in doing business with you anymore. And if they continue sending those, keep reporting it to the authorities, let them know what's going on, and just refuse doing business with them.
And I appreciate what
that's
he said.
That's all we can do.
I appreciate what you said, sir, where at least you're reporting it.
Yeah.
The average person does not report it, but you're aware that, first of all, it's a bogus company, and secondly, that you are reporting this. And I can't stress it enough. Please, callers, if you're listening to me, please report it, if nothing else, to the Better Business Bureau so that they're aware mm-hmm. of what's going on. And if it's a police matter, locally, to the police, your local police department.
Yeah, especially if there's any loss of funds, you definitely want to contact your local law enforcement. Also, file a report on our BBB scam tracker, bbb.org/scam tracker. You can file it there, too.
Thank you so much for being here today. We've learned a lot. And if you'd like more information, we have information on our website, wvxu.org. We've been discussing how con artists gain their victims' trust and exploit their weaknesses. Our guests were Police Officer Princess Davis, a certified crime prevention specialist and patrol program coordinator for the Cincinnati Police Department, Pastor Peterson Mingo from Christ Temple Baptist Church, and Cincinnati Better Business Bureau public relations specialist Sandra Guile.